Hello and welcome to Jibe Talk in the Volvo Sailing Podcast. I'm Guy Swindles, and in this show we talk to a navigator who knows more than most about plotting a trip around the globe, Aussie Andrew Cape, and we talk to him about the new route for the Volvo Ocean Race. We also chat to one of the skippers who will be leading a campaign on that route in 2011-12, Chris Nicholson, who will be at the helm of Camper for Emirates Team New Zealand. We were hoping to speak to someone from the far 40 worlds, but I think volcano dust has messed up the communications with the Dominican Republic. Sorry about that. Anyway, onwards and upwards, and now it's time for, wait for it, the Volvo Sailing Podcast News Headlines. Despite difficult conditions in the Dominican Republic, the Far 40 Worlds went down to the wire before Massimo Mezzaroni's Navoni emerged victorious. Great racing in the Transat AG2R at the moment with Sam Davis and Roman Attanasio leading, last time we looked. Light winds have hit the Olympic Regatta in Jerez in France. We hope to get more from that next time. And Aussie Chris Nicholson is unveiled as skipper of Team New Zealand's camper campaign in the Volvo Ocean Race. Well, we'll be talking to Chris in a moment, but first we thought we'd go through the course for the next Volvo Ocean Race with a man who's done rather well in the event. He was second last time with Puma, he was sailing on Movistar before that. It's Australia's Andrew Cape, and I started by asking him what he thought of the course overall.
Looks like a bit of a holiday cruise. I mean, all holiday destinations, a few very different ones from last time, and All looks pretty nice. A few nice resorts to visit. Not a lot of, a bit of time in each one, so looking good.
Now, obviously, the first leg is one that the guys know very well. It's the one from Spain down to South Africa and Cape Town.
Yeah, that's your good old normal leg with the equator, the old doldrums in the middle. And it's usually some pretty windy stuff in the Southern Ocean towards the finish at Cape Town. So, yeah, the good old leg that usually shows who's the best prepared for the race.
Now, last time you were flirting with the Southern Ocean on that particular leg. Do you think that similar thing's going to happen this time round?
Well, the biggest change for the sailors, really, is the points have been removed from the gates. So we won't actually be racing to these sort of random, semi-random lines in the ocean to get points and then go on to the next one. So we will just... Well, we don't know yet, but I'm assuming that we're just going to be sailing the quickest course to get to the finish, allowing for any other exclusion zone. So that leg will change quite a bit. You'd expect maybe to have a bit more upwind work, but once you get into the northern hemisphere, it'll be pretty random again, I'm afraid, and the Gulf of Arabia will be pretty tricky as well, so to wait and see on that one, I think.
Now, an entirely new leg two up to Abu Dhabi from Cape Town. What's the feeling with that, particularly regarding Somalia, possibly, and the pirates?
Well, that's an issue. I mean, a day after they announced the course, they shot some pirates up just not far from Mauritius, which is at the moment the waypoint we have to go to or avoid. So they'll probably have to keep that in mind and maybe send us a bit further to the east. Getting up through or avoiding Iran on the way up to the finish will be another obstacle. We'll just have to wait and see. Let's just hope there aren't any bad things before the start.
Do you know much about sailing around the Middle East, KP?
I've been there, I don't. Not a thing.
Do you quite like it, though, if new challenges are thrown at you?
I do. The course choice doesn't worry me either way. I mean, a race is a race, so whether to beat other boats and where we're sent, I'm long given up on trying to affect that. We just get told, for whatever reason, where we're going and get on with the racing. So I'm happy to go to new places and see and experience other things and other oceans and seas and bays. So it's all good.
I'm guessing one trip you won't miss this time is the trip from Singapore to China. Is this a more civilised way, if you like, of getting to China?
Sort of is. The biggest obstacle there was the Straits of Taiwan. where the fronts come through and the seas get very bad. We haven't quite avoided that. We've got to go upwind between Singapore and China, Hainan Island, and then leaving there, when we leave China, we've got to get around the top of the Philippines. So there could be a nasty bit of sea and a bit more action just getting around the top of the Philippines. After that, hopefully it's good sailing again.
Now, the race heads back to one of its old favourite haunts after an absence of a couple of races, Auckland. What do you make of that?
Well, that's a must. Auckland's a must for the race. I mean, just the interest in New Zealand, the community that's there. And I mean, it was disappointing not to go there last time, and you're having such a long leg last time, and having sailed within, I think, 50 miles of it to get to the race gate, it was seemed pretty ridiculous that we didn't stop. Anyway, it's good to have Auckland back, and I'm looking forward to being there. It looks like we've only got a very limited amount of time there, only like a week, which I don't understand quite with the scheduling, but... yeah, no, that'll be good.
What conditions are you expecting going into Auckland, KP?
Straight down from the top, so that'll be quite light. Again, getting to the doldrums through the Pacific Ocean. Might get quite light if you're towards the New Guinea side or Solomon Island side. So we've got to make a few choices there, and in we go. After Auckland, definitely on the way to the Hornets, it's your good old Southern Ocean trip. We just have to see, based on the predicted ice pattern at the time, how far north we go. But yeah, certainly the further south you go, the colder and the windier it gets.
Yeah, I guess that takes you into one of the more traditional legs, if you like, doesn't it? New Zealand, in this case, up into Brazil.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. That's a great leg for the 70s. And obviously having the break in Auckland, that makes it a shorter leg, which is good. So you'd be looking for like a... maybe a 12-day crossing, hopefully, from Auckland to Cape Horn, somewhere maybe even quicker at times, depending exactly where the ice gates are, if there are. And then a bit of a trip up to a new stopover in Brazil. So, I'm looking forward to that leg. That'll be the fastest leg of the race in terms of average boat speed.
Well, we always look forward to those legs and actually seeing these boats strut their stuff. But then... one of the more traditional routes, if you like, from South America up to North America and then across to Europe. Any surprises there that you're expecting?
I don't believe so. I hope not. Brazilian coast, yeah, nice and sunny, getting hotter and hotter and hotter as you go, doldrums again, and then reaching out of the doldrums towards Florida. And, you know, typically with the breezes there, or trade winds there, it'll probably just start off reaching and slowly start running towards the finish. Yeah, go more downwind. And leaving Miami, you got the Gulf Stream to deal with. Do you stay in, do you stay out of it? But I think you'll see the boat still heading pretty far north to get the shortest course and get the most winds. And then closing down on Lisbon, you've got to probably make a few choices and hope for a front or some low system to get you into the finish, because it might get light a bit again towards the finish of entering Lisbon.
Nice little finish as well from France to Ireland.
Yeah, that'll be good, but that could be, the weather could be anything there, depending on exactly what it is on the day. So all forecasts are off for that one, so you just have to wait for that day, and hopefully it's a nice southwester and away we go, and it'll be great to get back to Galway. Enjoyed that.
I think most people did, and are looking forward to going back. Now, one of the features of Galway are the import races. We've talked about the offshore legs, the long time sailing, if you like, but what do you make of the race having so many inshore races, and indeed finishing with an inshore race?
Well, that's the way it is. It's certainly interesting finishing a round-the-world race with an inshore in Galway, but... that'll be good. Let's hope no one loses the race on that last day, but I'd say that the fleet standing should be pretty much sorted out by then, I'd like to think. But it'll be good. It'll be a good way to finish, and a perfect place for it. So, and the inshores, they've been a good thing for the event, for the Volvo, I think. The new format itself of having the pro-am on one day, say the Friday, then the inshore on the Saturday and leave on the Sunday, is good, really. It gives you a bit more time off after you finish a long leg. And, I think that'll be a good format.
Well, thanks very much for going through the route with us, KP. Almost presuming that you'll be taking part in the race again. Will we expect to see you on the start line next time?
Big chance. I've signed with a team. It's confidential this time, but we are sailing and have been since January, actually, so we're looking good and feeling good, but have to wait until a public announcement.
Well, one of the guys who is going to have to try and sail around the world and lead a team while he's doing it is Chris Nicholson, who's been unveiled as the camper skipper for Emirates Team New Zealand. And I began by asking Chris how that came about.
Well, it hasn't happened overnight. I guess I've been at it now for 8 years, so maybe it's about time.
Obviously, it's the camper campaign for Emirates Team New Zealand, your first Volvo was with Grant Dalton. The fact that you'd worked with Grant before, is that how it came about?
I'd have to think that's the basis of it. But and you know, you get to see obviously how people are and how they tick. But since then, you know, I'd have to be thinking it's my Volvo experience from then on.
How did you get the news? Did Grant ring you, Chris? How did it come about?
We'd been in discussions for a little while in terms of, you know, some possibilities out there, you know, like I guess with other teams as well. So it's kind of, at the end of the day, it ends up, you know, the team that you think can put on the water the best chance of winning the race, and that's sort of by far Emirates Team New Zealand.
Now, Chris, interesting situation. Puma are back. They're one of your old teams. It could be that Movistar are back as well as one of your old teams. Does that put an extra edge to it at all?
Well, I must admit, I'm looking forward to racing those teams, if that's what you mean. But, you know, like it's guys that are involved with those programs, and I've seen and learnt things from all those programs, so you know. But at the moment, we're really just concentrating on ourselves.
Now, the interesting team being developed. You've got Adam Minoprio alongside you, a guy who's just shot forward in match racing over the last 2 years. How did he get involved with the campaign, Chris?
Well, obviously, you know, we've tried to lessen the average age a bit on Emirates Team New Zealand, so. There's that factor, but also, you know, I guess I was looking for someone, I guess, similar to me when I started in terms of, you know, a high skill level, but in a different discipline of the sport. And obviously, you know, he's got such good skills, both match racing, but also just driving skills on those boats. I think it's just a perfect fit.
I have to ask the obvious question. What's it like as an Aussie skippering Team New Zealand?
Well, I think it's okay at the moment. I think things will heat up next year when we beat them in the World Cup for rugby. So that could be a sticky time then, I think.
Just looking ahead, what are the plans now? What's the timetable, if you like, between now and the race?
Well, at the moment we're very busy in the design process. We've got we've literally started only 3 weeks ago, but the design team was already in place from the America's Cup side of things. So we've pretty much started quite a frantic pace. So now it's to get through that process, start with a build, and these boats, you know, they take 8 months at least to build. So. That's going to take a while, and then, you know, we'll be on the water around April, May of next year, and, you know, the traditional 3-4 month shakedown period, and then we're really at race time. So it's not really a day to spare at the moment. Every hour is precious.
Now, Chris, I'm guessing you'll be spending a lot of time overseeing the build of the boat. That's an area you certainly work with a lot on Puma.
Yeah, you know, like I really believe these projects, you know, a couple of people need to take them on from start to finish. And yes, that was an area I did with Puma and enjoyed it and learnt a lot, and you know, want to do the process again and not make some of the mistakes I made last time and do some improvements in other areas. So I'm really looking forward to this challenge and this project.
Final thought, really, Chris. The race seems a lot further forward this time round than perhaps the last two or three editions. More boats involved. The course is already known and planned. How does that change the build-up, if you like, for the sailors and for the skippers?
Well, I just see it in our process. You know, we're bringing in some America's Cup, both technology and organisation and drive. So that combined with the Volvo experience, I'm thinking that will be a step up. I see the race in general. It really looks like the bar has moved up. That's certainly how we're preparing for it anyway.
And Chris, just a very final thought. What do you make of the course? Is it something you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I like the look of it. A little bit more down south in this course. It'd be good to come into Auckland again. One of the race's favourite stopovers, and a little bit more time in the Southern Ocean. So I like it. We're still working on the weather data that we have predicted for the race. So once that comes in, we'll know a little bit more. But it certainly looks a little more downwind orientated than the last race. And I think, you know, hopefully we'll see some improvements in the boats as well.
Well, that's it for this latest Jibe Talking. Please join us again next time when we'll have all the latest news from the world of sailing. In the meantime, remember to check in at regular intervals to www.volvooceanrace.org.